You know, upon our great nation, there has been a great, great attack. The greatest attack being the attack upon the Word of God. And really, that's not so new, because we find that all the way back in the book of Genesis chapter 3, don't we? We can see that Genesis chapter 3 reminds us that Satan is always about to call. Satan's always about to stick his head up and cause people to deny the Word of God. I want you to note in Genesis chapter 3, we're studying great personages of the Bible. Last week we took to study the life, the ministry of Adam. Now when we get to Eve, we do want you to notice Satan's subtlety. Prior to the fall, when Satan had fallen from heaven, we see that the reason why we believe Satan had fallen after Genesis 1:31, you recall that God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was good. That never would have been able to have been written if there had been an angelic fall that had taken place prior to Genesis 1:31, because God had created angels, and angels are part of everything. So therefore, we must have a post-Genesis 1:31 fall of Lucifer. And that's indeed what I believe we have. But prior to the fall, the serpent, you'll notice in chapter 3 and verse 1, Satan speaking through the serpent. I personally believe that the serpent, prior to the fall, was one of the most intelligent of all animals, but also the most beautiful. And that is why Satan would have sought to appear to Eve in the form of a serpent. If a serpent had come to Eve, and she would have cringed, as many of you ladies do working in your garden, here comes a tree snake or a garden snake, or perhaps something even venomous. You'll run away and you'll flee, and you certainly wouldn't want to have much dialogue with a serpent. But it's clear from chapter 3 and verse 14 that there was a curse that was placed upon the serpent, which caused it to crawl upon its belly. The inference being that prior to the fall, the serpent did not crawl upon its belly as it does today. Some commentators feel that perhaps the serpent might have even had wings or stood upright, and that may sound comical to some of you, but it's possible. Certainly, what we can say in the least is that the serpent was attractive to Eve. She would not have cringed from it. And she had contact and dialogue with the serpent. You know, there were three animals in the Bible which are said to speak. Take the time to jot down these scriptures if you like. Chapter 3 of Genesis and verse 1, you have a serpent that speaks. In the book of Numbers, chapter 22 and verse 28, you have Balaam's donkey that was supernaturally enabled to speak. And then in Revelation chapter 8, verse 13, you have an eagle that is said to speak and to make pronouncements. Now, for the brief time that we have together, I want us to just look at three errors that led to the fall. We know that Satan approached Eve and not Adam. Satan's desire was to attack Adam, perhaps in his most vulnerable of places. Therefore, he attacked Adam's mate. And there are three things that Satan did in the Garden of Eden that resulted in the fall that he's doing today in our nation. Sadly, that he's doing in our countries across America today, in our churches. First of all, number one, Satan is causing people to doubt the Word of God. Today, there are people that have an evolutionary hypothesis regarding the Bible, and they say that the Bible is really just the product of redactors and editors and campfire folklore and evolutionary development of the scriptures. So we really have no idea what the original manuscripts were all about. And quite frankly, they attempt to take all of the prophetic books of the Bible and make them past history. Whether you're discussing Ezekiel or Isaiah, or whether you're discussing the book of Daniel, or if you're discussing Revelation, people today are trying to say it's all past. They all take a preterist view of the scriptures to the place where they seek to cause people to deny the supernatural. And if prophecy can be explained away with past history, that removes the supernatural element, you see, and therefore they can explain it away. Now notice in verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle. The word subtle has the idea of crafty, sly. He was more subtle than any beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. You see, Satan attempted to get Eve to doubt the word of God. And today, that is exactly what is being done. There are individuals today that say, well, we don't have the word of God. We don't have any assurance that the Bible isn't just a collection of sayings. You'll notice the woman in verse 2 started dialoguing with the old devil. You know, Eve foolishly tried to match her wits against the devil. You know, you can't stand toe-to-toe against the devil. You can't just simply try to match your wits against the devil, or try to toy with the devil, or put yourself in a situation where you're going to be tempted by the devil. The devil is much more cunning, much more crafty. He's had the ability to look and study over the human race, at least for the last 15,000, 10,000 years. And he has seen every scheme, every thought of man. No child should attempt to match wits against the devil. The Bible does say in 1 Peter 5:8, and verse 9, that we are to resist the devil, to be sure. Turn in your Bibles, don't lose your place in Genesis, but turn to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5, and verse 8. While we're not to dialogue and play footsie with the devil, the Bible does say we are to be sober. We are to be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, and that's exactly what he is, he's an adversary. He walks as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But notice, the Bible says we are to resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world today. We're not to debate the devil. We're to unleash the word of God, and we are to resist the devil in light of the truth of God's word. Doubting God's word, that's what was attempted to be done. Then, notice it says, the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it. And notice here, she adds to the word of God. Satan caused her to doubt the word of God, but here in verse 3, she's adding to the word of God. The Lord never said, neither shall ye touch it, you see. But she's adding to the word of God. Today, there are people that are adding to the word of God. You see these nice little professionally done commercials on TV, don't you? By the Mormon Church. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And they'll present a family scene, and then they'll tell you about how the family needs God's guidance. But they'll never tell you in the first visit at your home that there's more to the Bible. The Book of Mormon that describes Jesus' post-resurrection ministry in the United States, and the Egyptian hieroglyphic tablets that were found by Joseph Smith, as revealed by the angel Moroni, and all of the mythology that goes right along with it, and the fact that they believe that Jesus Christ and Satan are brothers, and the fact that they believe that Jesus Christ, through successive reincarnation, was once like us, and that someday we're going to be like him. The whole tapestry of Mormonism is mythology. But they'll not tell you that right away. But they're adding, the Bible's not enough, you need something else. Whether it's the Book of Mormon or the writings of Ellen G. White as presented by Seventh-day Adventism, or the writings of Sun Myung Moon or others that are always adding to the Bible. Oh, how we need to be careful. Look at Proverbs. Don't lose your place in Genesis 3. But you know, old Eve here, she was really approached by the devil to doubt. Eve had that inclination to add to the Word of God. We as fundamentalists sometimes have to be careful that we don't add to the Word of God too, by the way. It's amazing how customs and traditions can be encrusted upon the Bible where we preach both with equal authority. Amen? Yeah, all of a sudden I've stopped preaching and gone to meddling, but sometimes that can be. We can be preachers of preference and preachers of culture. And then sometimes, even as missionaries, we take our preferences and our culture with us and we try to Americanize nationals in other countries. We better make a distinction between what's God's Word and man's culture. We have to do that. But look at Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 and 6. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. By the way, our nation needs a shield. Our nation needs a defense. Your home needs the protection of the Lord. You individually need the shield. When we went into Iraq, there was the Operation Desert Shield. Well, we need God's shield upon our country. And it's tied in with the Word of God. And if we doubt God's Word or add to God's Word, that shield will be lowered and we will be vulnerable to the satanic attack and the darts of the devil. But notice what it says. Verse 6, add not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. And many people today are lying prophets, just like it says in 2 Kings 22:22. Lying prophets, because they're preaching that which God's Word has not said. Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19 puts a big period at the end of God's Word, God's revelation. Then look at verse 4. Let's go back to Genesis 3. The serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God does know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Denying God's Word is the third attack to Eve. Doubting God's Word, verse 1, adding to God's Word, verse 3, and denying God's Word, ye shall not surely die. The Lord said, ye shall surely die. But Satan was denying God's Word. By the way, people today don't realize that the New Age movement is actually portrayed in the Old Testament very, very graphically. The New Age movement is of the devil. Genesis chapter 2 presents the fact that the New Age movement isn't really new at all. It's not new at all. As a matter of fact, there are three basic tenets of the New Age movement that are portrayed by the devil in the Garden of Eden. Number one, Reincarnation is espoused by the New Age movement and many cults today. And look at verse 4. Ye shall not surely die. That's basically the teaching of reincarnation. You don't die, you just come back in another life form. If you have good karma, you come back in an advanced state of development. Bad karma, you might come back as a chimpanzee or a donkey. Or a three-legged cat or whatever, you know. The idea being that that's bad karma. But the Bible says, it's appointed unto man once to die, Hebrews 9:27, and after that, the judgment. You see, that's what God's Word teaches. But Satan says, no, ye shall not surely die. Not only that, but, hey, there's the second death too, eternal separation from God. Now, reincarnation is the first block of the New Age movement. And it's based on Genesis 3:4. Then, the next block of instruction is what we call the higher state of consciousness. New Agers will tell you that there is a deeper, higher consciousness that we can develop within ourselves. This is where transcendental meditation comes in. This is where yoga, this is where mantras, repeated words over and over again. Even back in the days of Dr. Timothy Leary, even the use of drugs. By the way, during the tribulation period, study in the book of Revelation the usage of the word pharmakeia in the scriptures. Translated in the King James, witchcraft, but actually it has the idea of a drug-induced, that's where we get the word pharmacy from, pharmakeia, drug-induced pagan idolatry, and there's always been that altered state of mind. And we've seen it today with many religions of the world, and that is the concept. Now, where do we get the higher state of consciousness that Satan was promising? Look at verse 5. Eve, you don't know everything now. You need to have your eyes opened. Just think what you can experience. And teenagers today are smoking pot, which marijuana, cannabis, is the entry-level recreational drug that Satan uses to get you deeper into other types of substance abuse. And you know, we don't have to stop there, but, you know, today the old devil is making even alcohol attractive to even elementary and junior high kids. The strawberry Zacharies and the flavored drinks with syrups and all of that, making them attractive. You go to many of the hotel industry today and they'll serve you these alcoholic drinks with the beautiful little umbrella in it and all types of fruit around it. All that that is to attempt to give you a taste to hook you. Every alcoholic started out with the first drink. Listen to me. Stay away from alcohol. Socially, otherwise. Young people, stay away from it. And you know what? The best preventative against your children getting involved with alcohol is for you to practice abstinence. Because what we think we can do in moderation, oh yes, our children will do in excess. Be so careful. That's why this pulpit takes a firm stand on abstinence. And we believe and preach that without apology. And Satan will seek to establish a beachhead. And here he tempts by saying, your eyes can be opened. The Lord hasn't given you everything that you really need, Eve. There's more out there if you'll listen to me. If you'll listen to me. That higher state of consciousness is that second building block in the New Age movement. And look at verse 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. But notice, a tree desired to make one wise. See that higher state of consciousness there. The Gnostics in the early church history believed in that plethora of ability of knowledge there that was available. But a desire to make one wise. Then, the third characteristic of the New Age movement, which is the Old Age movement, is also found in verse 5. And that's the deification of man. We're all God. All of nature is God. And by the way, I am an ecologist. I'm not the type of person that'll take my engine oil and dump it in my yard. And I try to obey the ordinances. I will not, when I'm doing the lawn and blowing the grass with the blower, I tell my boys, don't blow it into the retention areas or into the gutters where it'll be carried into the water system and into the lakes. We have to be ecologists, because what are we doing? We're fertilizing the lawn and putting insect killer and all of these things, and then we're blowing it into the water system and doing all of these things. And I'm an ecologist, but you know what? The reason why I am is because the Lord told us to have dominion over the earth, but we don't deify the earth. There are people that say, well, dogs and cats, they're all part of the God, the cosmos, and the God consciousness, and we're all part of God, and man is God, and we're all developing and forming as part of God. That's Satan's talk. Ye shall be as gods, knowing good from evil. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 5. And we see the approach. Now we're going to stop there, but I just want to just challenge you as we continue in our study on the attack of the devil upon Eve and how he entered in. He caused a misunderstanding of God's word. How we need to be, men and women here, men and women of the Scriptures. We need to make sure that we are fighting the devil using the proper tools. You cannot go toe-to-toe in your own power. It must be that we are armed with the truth of God's Word, seeking to obey Him. He is a subtle enemy. He is a lion who is seeking whom he may devour. And it ought not to be a surprise to us, dear people, that across our beloved nation, there's a movement to de-emphasize doctrine. Because doctrine is what's going to cause us to wield the sword of the Spirit against the devil. And Satan's desire is to weaken the church and destroy the church and her influence, and to seek to secularize our society and remove the Word of God. And in our morning service this last Lord's Day, we demonstrated how the Word of God is being removed from our country. And our country, the old landmarks are being removed. May that never be the case in our lives. Let's pray together. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you do not know Christ as personal Savior, my prayer is that today will be the day that you'll believe God's Word, trust God's love letter to you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And as a Christian, young person, child, adult, you need to be in the Word of God on your own. I don't see anyone in this room that is too old or too young to read and understand God's Word. We have a responsibility to have our time in God's Word. Bless us, Lord, and strengthen us through the ministry of Your Word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.